Good morning and happy Saturday. Welcome to another edition of Thinking Out Loud with Jesse. Today we're going to be talking about the hedonic treadmill and the rat race of life and happiness. Picture your favorite thing happening, the thing you've been waiting for. Finally you get it, and you have this sense of what's next. A lot of people deal with that, and that's the genesis of today's episode. You got the job, you hit the number, you moved into the condo. But it's weird, right? That feeling, it didn't last. You went right back to craving the next thing. And if you're like me, it doesn't really take long. It's not a personal flaw. It's a system you're trapped inside. A system designed to make you always want more, always feel behind, and it does have a name, that name, the hedonic treadmill. It is often said that top performers feel this sense of relief and not joy. Not sure I've always agreed with this, but it has been something to notice. And if you look at hyper-successful people, they often appear to be insatiable with their money, with their success. And we can definitely identify several billionaires who probably aren't all that happy despite all that success that they have. They have everything you could want, objectively. There are also several other aspects of their life that, you know, we would all envy. At the end of the day, they still seem a little bit unhappy, or even worse, insatiable in their desire for more. Imagine selling a company for a large amount of money. Imagine having a huge degree of success. It's a high that many entrepreneurs feel, and they spend the rest of their lives chasing. Nothing quite seems to satisfy these folks at a higher level. And it's not just billionaires. It's not just entrepreneurs. It's not just anybody, but it could be anybody that is feeling this way. And if you've had a situation in your life where you've had success and you don't quite feel right about it, and you feel like it's not enough and you get comparative, then that would be the hedonic treadmill. Similarly, a person may achieve a ton in life, but still feel as though they haven't lived up to the high standards of others. And again, this is where that treadmill comes into play. It's also why they never seem to get their bag and sail off into the sunset. So many times I've wondered why, you know, if you made a lump sum of money, if you've won the lottery, why that isn't the point of change in your life and you sail off into the sunset. Most people don't. It may also be why so many people who are on the surface have everything may not be as happy as they could be. It could be that person who puts that person, thing, or circumstance on a pedestal, and when they finally get it, they realize it's not all that cracked up as it was in their head. Corporations and shareholders also do the same thing. This mentality of what have you done for me lately mentality. It's similar to the hedonic treadmill in the same way. Last year's accomplishments mean little in the face of today's lofty goals. What have you done for me lately? It's so true in my world in sales, but also for many people who have a career and who have a boss and who work for a company. Today, we're going to be unpacking this trap and figuring out how to slow it down, or better yet, take a damn step off of it. And so what is the hedonic treadmill really? The core definition is the psychological phenomenon where we return to baseline level of happiness after what happens, regardless if it's good or bad. You level up, but then that level becomes the new default. It is the emotional version of new phone, who dis. The example that I really turn to is, think about, you know, if this is you, think about the first time you started making decent money. You promised yourself, I'm not going to spend it stupidly. Fast forward, you're Uber Eatsing four nights a week. You have a gym membership you don't use, and somehow you're still stressed out about bills, even though that promotion, that raise, that job was the one that you were so looking forward to last year, and you said, if I just get to that level, I'm going to be fine. Again, you fast forward a year, maybe 2 years, and your baseline has kind of returned. It's not a flaw. It's actually a design of the human brain. And this comes from Brickman and Campbell in 1971. They talk about some of the science behind it. They introduced the idea that part of their theory on adaptation level phenomenon, and this is coined in the term hedonic treadmill in 1971, the idea is that humans have a happiness set point or a baseline. Emotional responses to life events are temporary, and then we quickly revert back to that stable baseline. A great example is when you win the lottery, you have that emotional high and you live that life for as long as it happens, about this honeymoon period, but then it fades away and it becomes, you know, more normalized. And obviously a lot of people do know that lottery winners of on the lower range typically go broke very fast, and then that's a great example of it. You become paralyzed, you hit your emotional low, and then happiness eventually returns on the other side. So if you're having a bad day, if you're having a bad week, a bad year, eventually you will still return to that baseline level happiness, says this theory. Anything in life that can be a positive trigger as well, a promotion, a raise, a move, a new partner, it does follow this similar arc that you will be in this baseline level of happiness eventually. You'll have that uptick or downtick depending on what kind of stimuli it is, and then you'll return back. The psychological mechanism that's behind this is that brains are designed for novelty detection, not sustained joy. So you're more likely to notice something new for a little while, but when it becomes less new, it becomes more normalized. A great way to think about this is the way our noses work. When we have a new smell enter our territory, it becomes all we think about, all we smell. But, you know, having been a smoker in my life and quit, I know that that smell was on me all the time. I just didn't notice it. So my baseline for that was, you know, I don't smell it anymore because I'm smoking cigarettes all the time. But my family, my friends, they all noticed it the first time I walk into a room. And that's a great example of it, is that the novelty does wear off, the baseline resets, and we move again. So there is this loop of craving, achievement, adaptation, and repetition. So you level up, but your stats don't feel as powerful anymore because the new boss is even bigger in the video game context. When we look at evolution and we look at human nature, it does serve a purpose. It makes us stay alert and not satisfied. Contentment equals complacency and danger in a tribal setting. So having that newness and having that craving of something new to sustain our new level of happiness does make sense. So why does this matter to us? And, you know, obviously that is a useful mechanism when humans are trying to survive in the wild, in a tribal context, in a pre-diluvian setting. But why does it matter now? Well, you're not broken. Your brain is doing exactly what it was built to do. And the question is, do you keep running or do you learn how to pause? And so obviously when we talk about, you know, the core tenets of the hedonic treadmill, it's the psychological phenomenon where we're returning to a baseline of happiness. You level up, but then that level becomes the new default, and you're totally consumed by this ideology, right? So the idea that we can get out of this and where does this take us is the next step of today's topic, right? So we're going to talk about some real life amplifiers to the hedonic treadmill, because everybody is typically wrapped up in a few of these factors and definitely a lot of the modern aspects of this, because, you know, that term was coined in 1971. I'd argue that today we live in a hyper-capitalist model as opposed to what was in play then. And the first aspect of, you know, some of these real life amplifiers of the hedonic treadmill are capitalism and consumerism. It fits so nicely with this topic that, you know, the hedonic treadmill and the way humans follow it is very similar to capitalist markets and capitalist ideologies, right? The economy relies on you not being content. If we were truly satisfied, most brands would die. They're literally selling us boredom, happiness, fulfillment. If you buy this product, you get these feelings, you get this emotion. And so that's why it exists. If you make more, you spend more, you should feel better according to capitalism, but really we know the answer, right? So, you know, for me, I thought I'd feel rich when I got my first big raise. As soon as those paychecks started to come in, a little bit of time, I felt great, but after a while, it just felt like I had more responsibility and fewer excuses for not having it all together, right? So capitalism and consumerism really do hoodwink our brains into training us into getting more, wanting more, doing more. All of that kind of stuff is beaten into our brains. If you have last year's model, last year's fashion, last year's tech, last year's ideologies, if you don't have ChatGPT, you're behind. So this perpetual improvement can hoodwink people and can hardwire our brains, and definitely has in today's world. When you look at social media and the perpetual comparison in the social landscape, that is even worse. And so, of course, we're not comparative beings in the way we should be today. And what I mean by that is most people should not be seeing thousands of their peers on a mirrored screen the first thing they wake up, right? When you wake up, you turn on Instagram, you can see what everyone else is doing. That is doing something to our brains as well. And it ties back into the hedonic treadmill, because even if you're content with your life, you could pull up your Instagram. And if you're not trained to being more hyper aware of these kinds of ideas, you can definitely get stuck in that trap of, oh, am I doing enough? Is my weekend plans cool enough? Look at so-and-so, they're on vacation. That devalues my current situation. I'm not on vacation. I must not be doing as well, right? So you can't just be successful. You need to look successful, feel successful, and make it look effortless while you're at it. And that is an illusion. Obviously, most people are only showing their most proud moments, their most braggable days, and their best vacations, their best outfits, their best dinners. But that does have an effect on us. And it does tie in, again, to this hedonic treadmill idea, because if you're not stepping off that treadmill, you're going to consistently be compared to other folks in your network, and this will never end. People are doing a lot. And if you compare yourself to hundreds of people at a time, it's impossible to rival each and every way that those people are being happy or being successful. So you can definitely get trapped in that. There's another aspect too, I would argue, is this hustle culture and the grind mindset that is really popular these days in terms of social media, in terms of how you have success. The grind mindset teaches that ambition is a virtue, but it rarely teaches us what to do when you actually achieve things. You're raised for climbing, but if you stop to breathe, you're slacking, and every milestone becomes a moving goalpost. If you grinded all year, that's great. There's somebody who's been grinding online for the last 5 years. There are so many folks online talking about this topic, and I don't want to disparage them either. If you truly get joy from hustling, from grinding, from being present and working all the time, that's great. That should be an intrinsic value for you. But it is not something that you should be doing just because others are watching and just because you feel like you have to. A recent quote from one of my favorite podcasters or podcast guests is Naval Ravikant. He actually made this very clear in one of his quotes. He said, "Desire is a contract you make with yourself to be unhappy until you get what you want." And the important part about this is you need to define what that is. Because if you're just trapped in this journey, if you're trapped in always grinding, always hustling, you probably will feel empty. And in my career, I have definitely been subject to this. When you get something, when you achieve success, when you hit quota, often it is not met with a feeling of success, of pride, of achievement. It's met with a sigh of relief, at least for me. When you go and you really look at it, you should be happy about these things. And if you're not, it does identify a mismatch with where maybe your brain would like you to be, or maybe your soul would like you to be, and then where your ego and your brain is actually, right? One of the best antidotes to this ideology, this hedonic treadmill, in my life has come in the form of letting go. Surrender as an Antidote. Very good book, and I will link it below. Couple key points from this that I'd like to bring into play today. Desire as resistance. So the more intensely you want something, the more you're affirming its absence. And this does create tension, anxiety, and craving, which only reinforces your unhappiness. I'll only be okay once I get there. If you're saying that to yourself, you're already trapped in this cycle, and it's going to be very difficult to get out of it. When we look at the ego needs to chase. So the ego survives through problems and progress. It fears peace because peace erases its role. The treadmill gives you the ego, and it gives the ego just enough meaning to stay alive. I'm not chasing anything. Who even am I? If I don't have goals, if I don't have aspirations, if I'm not making money, then what am I? So the ego is directly tied to this hedonic treadmill, for sure. When we look at surrender as a mechanism, I'm not telling you to give up, but the concept of surrender in Letting Go by Hawkins is to stop resisting it. Don't suppress, don't indulge, just observe and release in terms of your actual surrender. So if you're sitting with a feeling of, I need to hit a number, I actually need to perform, or I'm going to lose my job, you need to let go of that idea. And I'm not saying don't pursue it, but you do need to have a good place mentally to let that idea play out. So what if it doesn't happen? What if I don't get to my number? Is that going to be the end of the world? Probably not. And so that's where, you know, I've really found success with this ideology is letting it go, right? So when you're on the treadmill, when you're on the hedonic treadmill, it's all about craving more. Letting go is about craving less. So definitely want to read that book by Michael Hawkins if you have the ability. And you can still move, but you're not in panic mode. And so this book is really good to get out of that and stay present. When we look at modern psychology, this also really ties well with letting go, because lottery winners, they exhibit some of the same habits. They've got this amazing grace of luck, this newness, this honeymoon period. And if they're not learning to live and be present, they can go broke very fast. And they often do historically. So it's not about what happens, but it's more about how things stay new. And so if you're aware of this and you realize that thing that I'm chasing probably isn't going to make me as happy as I thought, your present situation is the most effective way of taking control of your life. So if you're happy in the present, if you're okay and being who you are today, if you have simple pleasures that you look forward to, and I mean as simple as I'm looking forward to my breakfast tomorrow, I'm looking forward to the opportunity to have some peace in the morning or seeing friends in the afternoon. These little things are pretty much the only way to get out of this trap. So that's kind of what I would say there. Obviously, I have the same problem in my life. When I made a certain number, when I hit my goals, I really did expect to feel like $1 million, but my brain already had the next thing lined up. I can't tell you how many times this has happened where, you know, I expected a miracle needing to happen. Like if I get this big sale today, I know it might not happen, but if it does, I'm going to be the happiest man in the world. This has actually happened to me a couple times where, you know, be careful what you wish for. You got what you wish for, and it just doesn't feel right. It feels like, okay, what next? Or did I get lucky today? Or am I not good enough? Or are people going to think differently about me because of how I've approached this? Jim Carrey has a great line for this as well. He says, I hope everyone can get rich and famous to see that it's not the answer. It's a great way of thinking about this as well. You got to realize that what's inside of you in terms of your headspace, what makes you happy, your connections with your family and friends and your loved ones, these are more important than capitalistic and hedonic notions of success. Those are really important milestones. You need to have pride in what you do. You need to do things. You need to be a productive member of society. I'm not discounting that, but you often see celebrities, musicians, athletes all fall into a funk after the highs of their career have worn off. And why is this? It's because they've lived on a certain plane for so long that coming down and being normal is hard for most people. And when you look at the treadmill, it does warp your sense of self. It does say, my success, if I don't produce this thing, if I don't hit this milestone, I'm not good enough. And so why do we think that, and why do we let that run our lives, right? I have the same problem, which is why I wanted to talk about it today. It's not easy. And it's something that the reason I wanted to talk about is because I feel like I've been dealing with this for a little while, and I do have a few antidotes. Letting go is the first way. So, you know, practicing good, healthy habits, obviously one of them being surrender, saying, you know what, I am not that outcome. I am not that specific problem or success. I am me, I'm just one person. The second way is to be grateful. And so when you slow it down and you say, I'm grateful for things, and you look at real gratitude, I encourage everyone to read up on what that means. For me, it means little things. And gratitude means noticing all of the things that you have in your life. The first thing I would say on the topic of gratitude is, you know, I would encourage you to look at 3 or 4 things that a year ago that you really wanted that you have today. Are you still thinking of them in the same way you were when you were actively chasing that milestone, that goal? For me, it's a big purchase. You're saving up money to hit that milestone. I really struggle to recall things I was actively chasing 3 or 4 years ago, and I take them for granted. You know, maybe even this podcast would be one of them. I just, you know, I suffer from this as well. And so if you could look back in your life recently, look at things you've gotten and think about how bad you really wanted them, you know, you should be a bit more grateful. For me, promotions, great sales quarters, bad sales quarters, all of them seemed a lot more meaningful when I was trying to achieve them. But when you zoom out, you realize that none of these things are truly that critical or that important. If you didn't get that thing, not the end of the world. We all move on. We all return to that baseline happiness. And same thing here. If you have a new Ferrari in your driveway, you're going to feel like the man for a little while. But eventually that thing is going to get a bit dusty. The newness of it will wear off. And so if you're not grateful for having that Ferrari in your driveway, you're walking by it every day, you don't even notice it, you're probably thinking about buying a Lamborghini to replace the Ferrari in your driveway. You're just going to be stuck in this trap the entire time. And so another great strategy to combat this hedonic treadmill is to reclaim boredom and simplicity. I can't tell you how often I try and create scenarios that result in me being a little bit bored so that I can fill that time with something valuable or something that I didn't even think about in that time. And that's what you do to be present, right? When everything is optimized or plans, you lose your ability to appreciate things. And I can be definitely a victim of this kind of ideology. So that's why I'm talking about it today. I'm also working on practicing a lot of this in my own life, right? When you reintroduce friction, you know, in a hedonic way, cooking your own food, walking instead of Uber, deleting apps temporarily, watching your spending, your pleasure baseline rises when you reset the scale. So when I actually look at the little things in my life and I learn to be appreciative, it's much easier to be happy. And I'll give you an example. Let's say you were given a budget all week for ordering Uber instead of cooking. It didn't matter about money. You just pulled up your phone, you ordered each and every meal, you waited for it to come, you eat it, you enjoy it. What happens the week after when you have to go back to normal? It's pretty obvious what would happen. You would feel like, oh my goodness, that week was so great, but now I have to go back to cooking, I have to go back to spending time on this, and I have to, you know, if you're not such a great cook like me, sometimes you might have to cook something that's not so great, and I do that too. So if you're ordering food all week and you end up having to cook all your meals the following week, you might feel a little bit unhappy, you might feel a little bit less grateful, right? And that's what I'm trying to get at, is we all return to that baseline happiness. And so if you reframe it, you say, wow, this week I get to order Uber Eats, then it's a little bit different. But if you return the following week and you say, gosh, now I have to cook all my meals again, that sucks, obviously you're not going to be as happy as you'd like to be, and you're not going to be as present or grateful as you'd like to be. So that's kind of what I'm getting at, right? When we pursue intrinsic goals, when you ask yourself, if nobody saw this, would I still want it? If the answer is no, then you shouldn't be doing it. And a lot of people get trapped in this keeping up with the Joneses, this hedonic treadmill, as I keep saying. It's not important to do it unless you decide. And that's kind of my point. I'm not saying don't work hard. I'm not saying don't pursue any goals, but it needs to be meaningful for you. What am I chasing this week? What did I not appreciate this week? If I had to live this exact life for 5 more years, what would I change? And so another aspect of this that we can find deep in philosophical principles, although I'm not gonna get too deep into that, is choose some form of discomfort. Big podcaster Joe Rogan, he talks about this all the time, is actually volunteering yourself to be in a little bit of hardship, right? So, you know, some Epicurean philosophers, they would sleep on the floor so that they would encourage themselves to appreciate what it's like to sleep in a bed, right? I'm not saying doing that, but maybe go through a couple tough workouts that week if you're feeling like you don't have enough. Maybe go and volunteer at a homeless shelter if you feel like your living situation isn't good enough. Maybe go and read some tough books on philosophy if you feel like you have everything you need, right? So that's kind of the idea, is what I'm getting at, is if you put yourself in a situation where you can be a little bit uncomfortable, when you return back to baseline, it will actually come with a lot of gratitude. So that's what I'm getting at, right? The treadmill itself isn't a bug. It's not a problem. It's a feature of humanity. We are deeply competitive people. This is for sexual reasons. This is for prolonging the species. And this is definitely deeply entrenched in both what it means to be a man and a woman in today's society. The system works against your peace unless you learn to opt out on purpose and be mindful of it. So the challenge this week, if you're listening, is resist the upgrade. Don't buy it, don't chase it. Write down a few things that if you wanted a year ago and you got, you know, would you take them for granted or not? Then ask yourself, what do I already have that I used to beg for? You know, one of the most fun lines that I saw recently is from Instagram. People saying, this is the job that I begged for on a hard day, right? So you begged for these opportunities. You begged for these problems to be present in your life, whether you like it or not. And so maybe it's not great to feel condemned by it, right? We earned our problems. So when you think about the rat race, you have to have a finish line. You have to have milestones that mean something to you. And if you don't, you're going to continue running in circles. This has led to a lot of folks who seemingly have everything in their lives. I think we know everybody knows somebody who seemingly has everything. And if they're not happy, objectively speaking, it's because they have not identified being present. They have not stepped off the treadmill. And so if you're wondering, why do I constantly feel like this? Being more present, being more mindful is probably the only way. So again, looking at the treadmill itself, it's not a bad thing, but we do need to notice it. And you cannot let recent achievements devalue your sense of self. Even worse, if you have any setbacks in your life, that's okay too. Part of the hedonic treadmill is hiding failure. And a lot of people do that. A lot of people make it seem like their success is linear, full of success, or even overnight. When we look at that treadmill, it doesn't really solve for failure. So when you have these moments, it's actually an opportunity to learn, to grow. And that's why I believe it's important to step off this treadmill when you can. Thanks for listening, everyone. I hope you got something out of this episode today. Really grateful to share this all with you.